رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Before we mention anything, alhamdulillah, we always try to mention our fazilat, you know, our blessing, our virtue of reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, it's mentioned that the best of creation, the most beautiful creation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned himself that the one who recites peace and blessings upon me 200 times on a Friday, his 200 years of sins will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome to another episode, dear viewers of Madni Channel. Again, in this silsila, Leader of the Awliya. And in the last episode, we spoke about the blessed sayings and the blessed teachings of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, the Leader of the Awliya, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today, alhamdulillah, azawajal, we have the ability to learn more, especially to those viewers who are parents. You know, today we will be talking about the blessed parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam and how they were and who they were and how were they like. And if we come to learn anything in this beautiful silsila, Leader of the Awliya, what we try to achieve is to try and understand the shan, the great personality of our Shaykh, Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But what we don't understand, what we fail to understand, is the stories and the narrations behind his success. And I urge all the viewers of Madni Channel, who also especially are parents, and even those youth who will one day be parents, to reflect upon how we are bringing up our children as parents, or if we have younger siblings, how we are bringing them up. Because indeed the way we are in front of our children will also follow the same. If we look at the life lessons and the blessed way of the parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we can inshallah take Madni pearls from this and inshallah better ourselves by acting upon their sunnah. Inshallah, Azawajal, Bilal Bhai, if you can enlighten the viewers of Madni channel about who were the parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam. You know, this is one of those things that a lot of people don't know about, and this is one of those reasons that why the shan of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam is so great.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We'll start off with the introduction, Qasim Bhai. The Blessed Father's name, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And the blessed mother's name is Fatima, Sayyida Fatima Tahira Tayyiba radiallahu anha. Now, obviously we want to mention the famous waqia of the piety of the blessed father, but not only the father, the blessed mother as well. Now, inshallah azawajal, try to listen to it attentively so we can pick out our madni pearls for ourselves, inshallah azawajal. It's been narrated that once during devotional and spiritual exercises, which the Blessed Father, Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala, they used to develop within themselves, they used to experience. It stated that during this practice and this these spiritual exercises, they had experienced starvation for the third time. So just the person's hungry even for a little bit, or for, let's say, a couple of hours, and then he doesn't get any food.
Loses his control, yeah. Gets angry.
Now, this individual is fighting his nafs, and this is on his third starvation. These are spiritual exercises which the Buzurgan Adeen, Rahimahumullah al-Mubeen, would used to go through. It's mentioned that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was sitting on a riverbank when an apple came to him afloat on the river. And he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, picked it up And because he was very hungry, and he decided and he ate it. Later on, he thought that as to whose apple it was he had eaten. And he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, thought that how could it be halal for him to have eaten that apple? So with this thought, he began his pursuit of finding who this apple belongs to. He started walking along the riverbank, and he found, after traveling quite some distance, a long distance, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, saw an extremely grand building with a very big apple tree with its branches full of fruit hanging over the water. And these apples were also ripe as well, and they were falling off the tree from the branch into the water. Hence, they realized that this, no doubt, this apple which I ate came from this tree, so the owner must be within that house.
So he followed the riverbank, because when the river was flowing, the Allah apple came to him. Is that what happened?
Exactly what happened.
And then he was following it backwards.
It shows the piety of an individual that, inshallah, we'll further explain it, that it mentions, when he reached the building, he came to know that the individual was Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i radiallahu anhu. And he was the owner of the blessed tree and the building. And Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the father Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, went to him and told him the whole waqia which happened. And he also apologized. And then Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i radiallahu anhu, he realized that this person who has come to him is a very beloved person to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he said, meaning Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i, he then said, serve me for 12 years, then your apology will be accepted. Sayyidina Musa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he accepted it happily and served him for 12 years. After that period had ended, so after the 12 years, Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i radiallahu anhu, he said, I have one more service for you. So after serving 12 years the Buzurg,
for 12 years he was serving him.
And then they ask for one more thing as well.
Allah.
And they say, I have a daughter, and she has 4 disabilities. She is blind, deaf, disabled by hands, and disabled by legs. You have to serve for 2 years more after performing nikah with her, so marrying her. Then, wherever you want to go, you can go. Sayyidi wa Murshidi, the father Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, accepted this as well. Now, having performed the nikah, the moment where he goes in to see the face of his wife, he was astonished to see that all parts of her body were safe and sound. She was extremely beautiful, and even the night of a full moon stood nowhere to her beauty. Allahu Akbar. Now, he mentions that he radiallahu anhu did not approach her, finding her against what he was informed. Now, one thing is a person married to that individual now. It's performed, nikah has been performed. But then the piety of Sayyidina, the father Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, Sayyidina Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he was told something else, and he did not approach just because it was against what he was told, even though that is his wife by Sharia. And then they further mention that they leave the room and they go to find the father Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i radiallahu anhu. And then Sayyidina Abdullah Sawma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he explains and says, whatever attributes I have mentioned to you, they are correct. Word for word. He says, she is blind to a na-mahram, meaning she has not seen a na-mahram. She is deaf to something that is not right. She is disabled by hands, meaning she has not gone near any man. And she is disabled by legs, meaning she will not move against your order, against whatever you say. Having heard this, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi developed great respect and reverence for his wife in his heart, and they both lived extremely happily.
Allah, subhanallah. Albay, where do we start with the Madani pearls? They're endless in this beautiful narration. And you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, with the dear viewers of Madani channel, if we start, I would like to break this story down, if that's okay. Because, you know, every single part, there's so much wisdom, there's so much beauty, there's so much lessons that we can learn. And they're very, very, very simple. No, right from the beginning when you mentioned that, you know, he starved himself this, you know, to this extent. The father of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, he would starve himself, and this was a practice of the pious predecessors. They would starve themselves to the extent, you know, that they're really, really, really starving, just to fight, you know, their nafs and the shaitan. And, you know, in the previous episodes, we mentioned about Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam fighting his nafs and fighting shaitan.
Following exactly the same way as his father.
This is the father's footsteps. You know, he would starve himself, and this is the third time. You know, it's not the first time, not the second time, the third time. And only then, you know, he ate an apple. How much did he eat? An apple. And look at us on the other hand. We struggle when it comes to the beautiful month of Ramadan. You know, we have a million and one questions going through our minds. How we can, you know, take a day off. You know, I don't think I'm able to keep the roze. And we don't even know the benefits of keeping one fast. And, you know, we try to make excuses, make really lame excuses that this is wrong with me or that's wrong with me. But just this on its own is such a beautiful part of the story that, you know, when he was hungry, okay, he ate, what did he eat? An apple. And that apple was going in the river, did you say? In the riverbank. But look how pious this man was. Then when, you know, he's got the apple, later on he thought to himself, whose apple is this? You know what I mean?
I'd like to mention that obviously we can't understand their spiritual exercises that they starve themselves. But what can we practically take from that, just that part of the story?
Just that part.
That the amount of food we eat, try to reduce it a certain amount. Because we tend to eat quite a lot, and sometimes it's more is left over as well. We tend to put too much, and then it gets left over.
Yeah, we don't just eat to our stomach's full, you're saying. We eat more than that, innit?
And what's the practice of our pious predecessors? They would do the complete opposite. And what's mentioned by the Buzurgan Adin to refrain from three things: eating too much, sleeping too much, and talking too much. Mm-hmm. And all of these have been explained in detail. And the talking too much was when he said, unnecessary talking. There's beneficial talking, unnecessary talking like this. Now, what we can learn from this, just this part of, that we should try to reduce our intake of food. Yeah. Try to choose healthier options so that we can become more fresh.
More healthy.
Whilst performing our worships as well. And try to make this intention when we eat, before we eat food, that I'm going to eat this food, inshallah, to gain the energy to perform the ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then if we move ahead, inshallah, through the story,
yes.
They thought about whether it's halal for them. We just mentioned that. Now, let's go to the 12 years.
You know, you just said, let's move on. But, you know, where do you move on to? Year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, they're so long. And for 12 years, he gave up his life because he felt guilty. So when he went to the blessed, you know, father of the mother of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, you know, he said to him, look, I've taken an apple from your garden without realizing. He never mentioned as well that this apple came to me on a riverbank and, you know, I ate it and I felt that it was from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He didn't say any of that. He just says, look, I've taken it. Again, ajizi, piety, humbleness. I've taken it. Whatever punishment you say, I'm ready to accept.
Yori, Qasim Bhai, it's the fear of Allah. And I believe that's what we are lacking in today's society as well. If you look at ourselves, when it comes to rizq, we tend to eat too much. And first of all, whether we know it's halal or not,
is another
question.
Exactly.
And it's another point.
We don't even know if it's halal or haram.
Then, moving on after, let's say after food. Now, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is a point which is the true quality of the awliya kiram. Then that was that blessed quality which would keep them steadfast as well.
Yes.
Many waqiyat we've heard. And if we look at the blessed mother of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu anha, her chastity, her purity, her modesty as well.
Dear viewers of Monday Channel, as you've heard this beautiful narration about the beautiful parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam, you know, we've mentioned so many waqiyat, so much narration about Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu anhu. But this is just one narration about the parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam. And you know, it's commonly said as well that who is the first teacher to our children? It's mentioned the mother. The mother is the first teacher, and then it is your father. And we're talking more specifically about the father, at the very beginning of the narration, you know, starving himself for the pleasure of Allah, trying to gain the pleasure of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to do things, you know, push himself as much as he can. Then when Allah gives him risk, he eats an apple, he goes to the barakah of the owner and says, punish me however you want, I ate an apple from your garden. And then the mother of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, you know, I remember a vaqia you mentioned in the previous episode, just to refresh ourselves, you know, the mother of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, not just her being pious and refraining from all types of fitna, you know, being blind by the eye, not seeing a non-mahram. And you already know what's going on in this society, how much fitna there is. She did not see any, being her, you know, her being blind is an example, you know, a testimony to say that she has not seen any other man other than her father and her, those relatives that she is allowed to see. For example, grandfather, her father, her brother.
I believe that Qasim Bhai, their example is an extremely high example of piety. And we're so low and we're drowning in sin that to even look up at that, it seems that's completely impossible in today's society.
I have a question, Bilal Bhai, because you mentioned that, you know, our viewers, the viewers of Madhya Chan, they might think to themselves, you know, you've mentioned, you know, we both mentioned about the superiority of the piety. Without doubt, it's very high. How can me and you attain something like that?
Without doubt, even just listening to these waqiyat, a person can see what were the benefits of this, that their child became Sultan al-Awliya, the leader of all the Awliya. And this was the blessing of their parents, no doubt.
One of those things that were leading to his success.
They also mentioned the simple and even a logical point, that if we follow in the commandments of Islam, of the Islamic Sharia, if we act upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to act upon and refrain from what they have said to refrain from, then we will see the fruits like the family of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam radiallahu ta'ala. But if we do the opposite, if we are watching dramas, if we are listening to music, and our babies are present,
yes,
then obviously this will have a bad effect. And if our family members are missing prayers, not keeping the Fard fast, and if we can go long, we can go down
the path. It's a long list, isn't it?
But what we have to remember is what has Allah stated in the glorious Quran regarding the actual authority of the head of the household, the father, and how he should maintain this. Allah states in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Translation, all those who believe, save yourselves and your family from the fire whose fuel are men and stones. Sadr al-Afadil, Sayyid Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi alayhi rahmatullahi al-kabi has stated regarding this ayat that by obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, carrying out acts of worship, refraining from sins, and guiding your family members towards righteousness, and also preventing them from evils, teaching them regarding knowledge of the deen, and basic manners and etiquettes. This is what is the meaning interpretation of this blessed ayah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all of you are shepherds and rulers of your family members. And on the day of judgment, the rulers will be held accountable for his flock. Now, according to this hadith sharif, the commentators of Sahih Bukhari, Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Shariful Haq Amjadi Saab, they mention, rahimahullah, that it means that those who are guarded by someone, for instance, people are guarded by kings and rulers, children by parents, students by teachers, religious disciples, murideen, by their spiritual guide, the murshid. Similarly, it's wajib for the wife, children, or servants to look after the wealth which is entrusted to them as well. And we must remember that guarding or watching also means that those people should not indulge in sinful activities. Now, what can we understand from this, Qasim Bhai, if you want to take over?
Alhamdulillah, as Bilal Bhai has mentioned, that there are many, you know, there are many lessons that we can learn from this. First is that how to guard our children, you know, being a role model and being a suitable role model for our children. This is one, alhamdulillah, you know, example. Again, we take from the blessed life of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam's parents. You know, he was fasting, you know, he wouldn't deceive, he wouldn't betray. He went to the owner. You know, he agreed to work for 12 years just to attain forgiveness. You know, nowadays it's such a thing. A child will be there, both A and B, if you can imagine. A being one family, B being the other family. The heads of the family, you could say. And the kids are with them. And what will happen in today's society, Bilal Bhai, is that if something has happened, whatever has happened, it could even be a misunderstanding. But party A will not forgive party B, and party B will not be ready to forgive party A. Instead, what they will do is they will have bugs, jealousy, anger, you know, this very, very hard feelings towards one another that, you know, even if it's only to do with each other, one man and one man, they will start hating upon the family of the individual as well. And this will spread. And then when they go home, they will only talk about each other. And when they talk about each other, 24/7, as the children are being raised, they listen to this, then they're going to start hating one another as they grow up. They're going to start disrespecting each other's fathers. The kids, you know, they have kind of poison from the get-go if parents are like this. And they don't realize that we are having such a negative effect, a really bad negative effect on our children. And when we die, they will be at war with one another. And you know what's funny, Bilal Bhai? They will grow up, and if the parents do pass away, they won't even know why they hate each other. What was the reason? And they won't even make an effort to try and reconciliate, you know, try to understand, was there a misunderstanding? Did I think bad about my Muslim brother? Or did this Muslim brother think I think bad about that Muslim brother? You know, all these, you know, issues are all to do with the environment, of course, but also with parenting. And it's, you know, again, going back to the beautiful parents of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam, being one of those reasons why he is so successful, why his blessed name is on the tongues of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You know, we also come to learn about his blessed father. It's mentioned that his father, his ascendants, they all reach all the way up to Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu. So meaning his father is from the family of Sayyidina Imam Hassan, the grandchild of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then if we look at his blessed mother and her ascendants, they reach all the way to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. And this means that Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein, both being brothers who are the family of Sayyidina Ali, who are the children of Sayyidina Ali, and their blessed mother, Sayyidatuna Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, and who are in fact the children of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the grandchildren of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This means that an abundance of blessings from both his mother and father, again being one of many reasons for his success and his shan being so great. This is why he achieved this kind of greatness. Now, a question might arise, Bilal Bhai, that, you know, okay, we know about the blessed status of the father and the blessed status of the mother. We can't be like him, because he is both Hassani wal Husseini. You know, how do we try to become pious like him, you know, when we haven't attained these kind of blessings?
I think that keeping in mind that they are Hassani and Husseini Sayyid, but remember their teachings, we have to go back to the foundation. Islam and the teachings of Islam. That what did they preach? The commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the adab for the teachers, the adab for the parents. And he mentions that when they were just going out and they went to the jungle, Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam one day, and they saw a bull, and they went behind the bull. They were just walking behind the bull, and Allah Azza wa Jalla gave the bull the power to speak, and he said, "Oh Abdul Qadir, you are not created for this." He was so shocked and so amazed by this that he returned. He went to the roof of his house and he saw that people were on the plains of Arafat. And then he went to the court of his mother and asked that, "Oh my mother, allow me to dedicate my life in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Give me permission to go to Baghdad Sharif in order to attain Islamic knowledge." Now, just pausing on this waqia for a moment, how many of us are inclined to sending our children to study the deen?
Exactly.
Because I want to mention that there is only peace in the deen. If Muslims want peace in your household, if anybody wants peace in your household, this is from Islam. Islam has taught us everything. The Prophet ﷺ taught us how to treat our parents, how to behave with them. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they used to enter the house of their blessed daughter, they would go and kiss the hand of their blessed daughter, and then their blessed daughter would kiss their hand and make them sit down. But where did they learn it from? They learned it from the father, because when Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up for them out of respect, kissed their blessed hand out of shafqat, out of love, and also sat them in the place that they were seated. This love, muhabbat, this is instilled by the parents, the fathers and the mothers. And also that many times the parents are arguing and the children are seeing this. And I believe that this, we have to create a balance in understanding between the husband and the wife, between the couple, because they have to realize that if this does not balance, then the children will also be affected.
It'll all be unbalanced. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madhi Channel, we have come again to the end of our episode in this silsila, Leader of the Awliya. We came here to learn about so many blessings through the blessed parents of our master Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Both parents being so blessed and both lineages reaching to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Of course we don't have these kind of blessings. But what the Mubaligh Dazisami, Bilal Bhai, he tried to say, and what I try to, inshallah, preach as well, is going back to, you know, the foundations, you know, learning about our religion, learning about Islam, and trying to find, you know, using knowledge and using dua, as is mentioned in the hadith, that dua is a weapon of the believer. So, you know, you having dua, having patience, and trying to pick out whatever bits we can, and try to act upon them through knowledge. You know, whatever you learn, start acting upon it. Inshallah, when you see yourself change, you know, your children's mother changing, then you will see the children also changing. Qasimbar,
I'd like to mention just one final thing, inshallah, Azizul, that it's the Amila Sunnat has produced many booklets for us. Not massive, thick books like Fihana Sunnat. We can leave that to one side. Just look at the small booklets that Amila Sunnat has mentioned. And I believe many of the problems in our household is due to anger. Many problems.
Misunderstanding.
And Amila Sunnat has written a booklet, The Excellence of Tolerance and Forgiveness. If we can obtain that booklet and read that through thoroughly, inshallah we'll see a difference. And another second book is The Cure for Anger. I believe that if we can all read this, sit down and ask and really analyze the person who's reading, analyze it themselves, analyze one's own self. If the father, the husband analyzes himself, the mother of the children, and they analyze themselves, then inshallah we will see that difference. Because obviously the parents, the couple, they want to make the household better. And we need to have knowledge to know that. And by means of Amila Sunnat's blessed booklet, then inshallah with this fazan of Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we'll be able to make our households a peaceful place, inshallah.
In the next episode, inshallah, we will talk about just one of many blessings of the things which blessed Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam and made him achieve such a high rank, which is his blessed ibadat. You know, how did he worship Allah Azza wa Jal? How many times did he worship Allah Azza wa Jal? Did he just stop at the 5 daily prayers? Or did he go beyond the point? You know, and how his life was completely devoted in love and devotion to pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal through his ibadat and to please the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, it's mentioned the coolness to the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is in salah. So we look at in the next episode about his salah, about his Quranic recitation, about his fasting, all these kind of different attributes Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam had just to please Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his ibadat. Inshallah, we can try and act upon some of them. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The leader of Aliyah.